Tedros noted more than 3.3 million people have lost their lives to COVID-19 this year, more deaths than from HIV, malaria, and tuberculosis combined in 2020. And still, COVID-19 continues to claim around 50,000 lives every week. That's not to mention the unreported deaths and the millions of excess deaths caused by disruptions to essential health services. All of us are sick of this pandemic. All of us want to spend time with friends and family. All of us want to get back to normal, he continued. The fastest way to do that is for all of us, leaders and individuals, to make the difficult decisions that must be made to protect ourselves and others. In some cases, that will mean canceling or delaying events, but an event canceled is better than a life canceled. The Omicron strain now accounts for nearly three-quarters of all new coronavirus cases in the United States of America, and recorded infections stemming from the variant are doubling every 2 to 3 days in the dozens of countries where its presence has been detected. Tedros observed recently, Africa is now facing a steep wave of infections driven largely by the Omicron variant. Just a month ago, Africa was reporting its lowest number of cases in 18 months. Last week, it reported the fourth highest number of cases in a single week so far. Reiterating his condemnation of vaccine apartheid, which has left billions without access to life-saving shots as rich nations swallow up much of the world's supply, Tedros said that if we are to end the pandemic in the coming year, we must end inequity by ensuring 70% of the population of every country is vaccinated by the middle of the next year. WHO warned last week that over a year and a half into the pandemic, more than 40 countries have been unable to vaccinate at least 10% of their populations, and nearly 100 countries have not reached the 40% threshold. Overall, according to our rolling data, just 7.6% of people in low-income nations have received at least one coronavirus vaccine dose. Omicron's rapid spread in the month since it was first detected by South African scientists has led some European countries to impose new public health restrictions to stem surging cases. While early data out of South Africa has sparked some cautious optimism that Omicron causes less severe diseases than other coronavirus variants, public health experts have warned that a massive spike in infections could swamp hospitals that are already at capacity, particularly in developing nations. It is probably unwise to sit back and think this is a mild variant. It's not going to cause severe disease, because I think with the numbers going up, all health systems are going to be under strain, Sumaya Suminston, the WHO's chief scientist, told journalists recently. Additionally, though, preliminary research indicates that existing coronavirus vaccines are effective at preventing serious illness or death from Omicron, lack of vaccine access in poor countries could allow the strain to run rampant across much of the world, causing more deaths and potentially spawning new variants.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us again on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for my nasal voice. It's rain season and flus and colds are going around. Secondly, but more importantly, I'm joined by my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So we've been talking about the fascinating topic of shopping. Whether you like it or not, it's still fascinating. It fascinates me how other people enjoy shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who actually enjoy shopping, of course it's fascinating. And we talked about how most women enjoy it a lot.
And it's not, it doesn't have to do with from which ethnicity you're from. It's an international thing.
Exactly. And men don't.
Usually men don't. My dad is an exception.
May Allah prolong his life. We were trying to highlight the fact that it's very important for us to create a balance. It's okay to an extent, enjoy the riches of this world, so long as it's halal. Allah says so himself. كُلُّ مِنْ طَيْبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Enjoy it, it's halal, it's there for a reason, you know? But we definitely have to draw a line.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for us to commit israf and wastefulness in every aspect of our lives, and shopping is definitely not an exception.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
When you give that example of people whose wardrobes are like busting with clothes, and they just keep adding to that.
But when you look at the teachings of Islam, you see that up to a certain extent, you're allowed to use, you know, as you said, the riches of the world. For example, I remember reading in a hadith that it says it's actually recommended to buy your young girls jewelry and nice clothes so that they would be presentable when it's time for them to, you know, to find their proper suitors, right?
Yeah.
So to look your best and to be perfumed, when you look at the sunnah of the noble prophet, you see that he spent one third of his income on buying perfume, right? So being presentable and looking your best has a very special place in the teachings of Islam. I think we have to distinguish two things, cleanliness and being presentable from being very trendy, buying like expensive brands and, you know, just being crazy about, I have to have this, the style of Apple phone has just come out, I just have to have it. Because you see lines outside of shopping malls when a special kind of
new edition of a product is out.
Some people see themselves like they go crazy about it.
Define their worth with that item.
Exactly.
You know, and if they don't have it, they deem themselves worthless. And that's sad because this person had so much potential to be valuable from a spiritual or even intellectual aspect. They abandoned that aspect of themselves and focused entirely on this material thing that changes every year and allowed that to define their worth. What you said about being clean and tidy is important. Reminds me of a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where his eminence says, do not do israf in your clothes by wearing your outside clothes at home, you know, and wearing it out. Wow. And then you're forced to buy more clothes.
That is beautiful.
Isn't it? The little detail that the Imam teaches us. If you are just organized enough to, when you get home, change your clothes into your PJs or comfy home clothes, house clothes, and that set of outside clothes will stay new. Or that the Imam says it doesn't matter whether you wear like old or new clothes as long as it's clean and tidy.
Exactly.
I see a lot of people, especially in the Hausa community, you find a lot of the tulab, the seminary students, they're not well off, but they keep their clothes well kept and they groom themselves when they come out, and you really feel like, oh, he's such a dignified person.
That is so beautiful.
Rather than someone who's scruffy and whose clothes smell like food and there's stains on it.
Exactly.
No matter how knowledgeable they are, you feel like, I don't want to interact with them.
That is so true. And this is something that the Prophet paid a lot of attention. I remember that actually he himself did all the cleaning of his clothes. In one hadith, you read that when you went somewhere, from the smell of the perfume of the Prophet, who you could realize that His Holiness, His Eminence, was in that place. According to the Islamic teachings, you can spend a good amount of your money on things to look very presentable and good in the society, such as perfume, but you have to be very careful not go into extreme. And the example of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra on her wedding night, that she gave her new dress, her wedding dress,
exactly,
to this poor lady. This is definitely a lesson for all of us, that girls these days, they would, you know, program and plan for their wedding
for months.
And the
money they spend on it. And then what happens?
If you don't go into extremes, and if you have a balanced practice of spending, like, you know, for your wedding night, I think it's totally acceptable. You have to, you know, the urf or the norm of the society accepts until a certain level of, you know, spending for your wedding night. And especially for the food that you give to the people. We have hadith that actually you have to make your wedding nights to be known to everybody. They know that you actually got married.
I'm joined by Sister Razia Shamili, and stay with us on this discussion.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So we did talk about the latest fashion trends that attracts women to the shopping, and this desire to buy the latest fashion is created in you by the advertisement that you're bombarded with on the billboards, on television, on Instagram, on all the social medias. You know, this trend is so popping into your face every second of your life that you just feel that you have to have that shirt, that watch, that pair of pants, that whatever.
If you
don't
have it, there's something fundamentally wrong with you.
Exactly.
That's how they make you feel.
Exactly. So that is number one, that women like to go, you know, after shopping. The second one, as I told you, it's, you know, this life that builds up worries and frustration for you. Women sometimes see it as a mood lifter. You know, it takes away their attention, away from all the stresses and anxieties and problems that they have. Some hours of their life, they feel released because of the change of mood, because of the change of atmosphere, you know, the
that
new place they go.
That is very interesting. Now that you put it that way, men do the same thing.
For shopping?
Yeah. Hardware stuff. Every man I've seen in my life, my father, my brothers, when they go into a hardware store and shop for themselves,
mashallah,
or tell themselves that I need this new drill, a drill that he will never use, stuff for their car.
Did you pay attention that when you go shopping, you see a lot of men sitting on benches inside the shopping mall, and the ladies are inside?
If they have a proper, healthy relationship,
they would go with her.
They would go in with her, tell her, no, this doesn't look nice. No, that makes you look fat. Oh, this color makes you look pale.
You know, a lot of men, it's not just, I think what you said may contribute to the reason why some men are sitting outside. But then it's sometimes it's just they don't have the nerves, because the girl, she wants to buy this skirt. She goes to all the stores in that shopping mall. She tries them on. And then she says, oh, I couldn't find the right.
It takes them forever to buy something like a new jack or a new part for their car.
Really?
They have to do weeks of research.
Your men in your family are very smart, and they are very hands-on. Not all men are like that. Mm-hmm. One more thing that might be related to the Islamic point indirectly is that one of the reasons that women like to shop is to look their best and to look unique.
That is definitely a feminine thing.
Because according to some researchers and thinkers, they say that in all the domains of life, men are the dominant figure. They decide for the society, because, you know, the important, influential roles in the society are for men. In families, men are the ones who make the final decisions. So there's little space left for women to feel in power. So when women go shopping, they find this sense of buying something that they want, which is so unique for them. They find it as a means, tools of giving them a sense of power. This is just an idea. Mm-hmm. But when I thought about it, in some cases it could be true.
It's a sad life to live. The only control you have over yourself is the clothes you wear.
Exactly.
We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
But then again, I understand that whole women liking to show off. It's an innate quality of women more than men. And that's why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this matter and tells them not to do tabarruj, because He knows that's something that they would struggle with throughout their lives if they don't put it under control. And I think that's why we are instructed to adorn ourselves with the hijab. Wear the hijab. Please don't ruin the peace of the society with your beauty.
And yourself.
Yeah, and yourself.
But then, in another sphere of women's lives, Allah, this isn't natural need.
This to is be noticed.
Physical need
to be complimented.
Yeah, to be complimented, to be told that you're special, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, okay? You have to be told that. So it's something from within, right?
It's necessary for her mental health.
Exactly. So this has, in the Islamic perspective, this need is met in the private realm of life. Mm-hmm. So we cannot stress it, you know,
enough
to say that, as you said, this spousal relationship is the first priority in a woman's life. The number one role that a woman should play is to do something and to put her most energy in being a loving wife for her husband.
Mm.
Right. And when this is in place, when your spousal relationship is in place, so many other pieces of the puzzle in your family would also fit in.
Mm.
Right? So in a lot of ahadith, as they tell us that you should not wear perfume outside and the angels would curse you from the moment you leave the house until the moment you return, it also tells you that according to the fuqaha, according to the jurisprudence, one of the roles, wajib, obligatory roles of women is to try to fulfill introductory steps in meeting the sexual needs of men, how to look their best, to wear their best, to put on really nice makeup, perfume, their best clothes, and to present themselves to their husbands and that they're lovely and that they love them so much.
Mm. That's all very interesting points. And thank you so very much, Sister Razia.
Thank you
for our listeners for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. Until another greeting and salam, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and since people in the West are on the threshold of Christmas, which Christians in Europe and the Americas believe to be the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, we hereby present you a thought-stimulating statement from the virgin-born Messiah, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Barnabas, about the coming of the last messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O blessed time, when he shall come to the world, believe me that I have seen him and have done him reverence, even as every prophet has seen him, seeing that of his spirit God gives to them prophecy. And when I saw him, my soul was filled with consolation, saying, O Muhammad, God be with you, and may he make me worthy to untie your shoe latchet. For obtaining this, I shall be a great prophet and holy one of God. And having said this, Jesus rendered his thanks to God.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Here is some exciting news for our dinosaur enthusiasts. Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
A It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals, and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and the second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. We looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Orsay is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Orsay's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of feeding the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's while the official lighting ceremony was held inside of Hall 6 Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives, and that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you'll be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas ho 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 come out in bubble from through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, host more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam to all of you. So welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about hypocrisy in Islam. So join us.
Without your warmth, without your smile, without you by my side, the world was so cold, I felt so lost. Without your light, I felt so blind.
Today, Thursday, is the 18th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of day 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of December 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of chapter Munafiqun, verse 1.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ
When the hypocrites come to you, O Muhammad, they say, We testify that you are the messenger of Allah, and Allah knows that you are His messenger, and Allah testifies that the hypocrites are liars.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Imam Ali alayhi salam is quoted as saying that hypocrisy stems from inward inferiority. Hypocrites in the early days of Islam had found their way into decision-making for society, and even the noble prophet was exposed to their conspiracies. Another point of significance is that the challenge posed to any society by hypocrites is worse than any enmity, since it is not facile at all times to recognize them on the one hand, and they are domestic enemies on the other, such that they infiltrate within the innermost of the society, such that it is quite hard to screen them.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
This is today's special and the continuation of this program under the topic of hypocrisy in Islam. Lying in Islam is a sin, and one has to seek tawbah or repentance from Allah. But hypocrites are the ones who lie due to their nature. They behave differently in front of other people and conceal the complete opposite inside. They are the one who, when meet the believers, say that they are with them. But when they meet the shaitan, the Satan, they make sure that their support belongs to them only. But they don't realize that their lies won't protect them from revealing the true face. As Allah knows everything and He puts a seal on the hearts of such people, a hypocrite is someone who's a liar and an oath breaker. His loyalty doesn't belong to the Muslims and Allah. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the problem of hypocrisy. For example, someone may pretend to be able to teach a subject in a class, okay, for a community, but in fact he doesn't know the right basis or fundamentals of that subject. So long as he pretends to be an expert in that field, he's a hypocrite. The Holy Quran says in this way, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْ قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوَدْفَعُوا قَالُوا لَوْ نَعْلَمَ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ مَا يَكْتُمُونَ. This is indicated in the Surah Al Imran, verse 167. The gist of this Quranic verse is that when it's said to them that, okay, come and join the defenders of the Muslim community, come and join the defenders of the community in order to fight in the cause of Allah or to prevent more harms, to reach the Muslim community, they would say, had we known any kind of defense or the way how to defend the Muslim community, we would have certainly joined you. The Holy Quran continues it and says, هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. In such cases, they are closer to disbelief, not believing in the Islamic religion, than to believing in the Islamic religion. يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They say what they don't believe. In the heart, in the mind, okay, they believe in something else, but apparently they pretend to be someone different, to be a totally different person. Wallahu a'lamu ma yaktumun. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better whatever they try to hide.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah.
Yeah, Allah, yeah, Allah. One question is here, why hypocrites do this? Allah has answered this. Do they seek with them honor through power? But indeed, honor belongs to Allah entirely. Yes, he does this for the sake of fame and respect, to prominence himself and to increase his status. He knows what is wrong and what is right, but following the customs of society and saying that it is the world, we have to go with the flow. He does everything against Islamic law. So Allah Ta'ala has cleared them that if it is for honor, then all honor belongs to Allah, who also witness it in our daily lives. Sometimes a person with the shine of wealth and one whose status conscious is not that much honored by us than the person who is hand to mouth having a brilliant heart.
والإكرام يا
How to Cure Hypocrisy in Islam, on the continuation of today's special. The first step in giving up a sin is to acknowledge and admit that it is sin. Unless this acknowledgement takes place and there is no denial or making of excuses, only then can the habitual sinner take their first baby steps towards giving up that sin permanently. Make sure you uphold all the obligations of Islam, especially the five daily prayers or salah. Start reciting the Holy Quran on your own and in a group. Try to memorize short surahs, chapters, and portions of the Quran, and repeat these in your daily salah.
Today we have modern hypocrites. You know, hypocrites could be individuals, they could be families, they could be groups, they could be politicians, and they could be nations. Yes, some nations could be hypocritical. Today, there are some nations that claim to fight terrorism while they are the origin of terrorism. There are some nations today that call for unity amongst Muslims, but they are the first to disunify and divide Muslims. There are some nations today that call for interfaith dialogue between Muslims and Christians, but they are the first to stand in the face of intrafaith dialogue. There are Shia in their countries that are banned from opening mosques. These countries, there are some nations that sponsor radicals to fight in other countries. Why? In the name of democracy. But in their own country, there is no democracy. You see, some nations, they speak in the name of Palestine. We need to support Palestine and free Palestine. But secretly, they deal with Israel and they support political campaigns of the Israeli Prime Minister. This is hypocrisy. And they fool people. They fool people with these slogans. But to me, a bigger hypocrisy, the bigger hypocrites is not this nation. The bigger hypocrites are those that support this nation, that stand with them and sell them arms and sell them weapons. These are bigger hypocrites. It is hypocrisy to support democracy in other countries and other nations, but when it comes to this country, no, we don't encourage them to have democracy. It is hypocrisy to denounce terrorism and to say that you fight terrorism, but when it comes to this country that is the origin of terrorism, we give it a blind eye. It is a hypocrisy to support human rights and to fight for human rights, but when it comes to this nation that is the first to violate human rights, we give a blind eye to all the injustices and the corruption and all the bloodshed and all the killings that are done by this nation, and to give a blind eye and to remain silent, this is hypocrisy.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, hypocrisy in Islam, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till another visiting, thank you very much, and we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized.
But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.